I'm Trent Norris, fund manager at Sterling Capital.
And this is Michelle Nipko. I'm the podcast host, and welcome to the One Trade Podcast. All right, Trent, episode one.
Hello,
One
Michelle.
Trade. Let's talk about it. So what can listeners expect every week?
So One Trade is going to be a podcast that is going to hopefully help people navigate these new markets that we're going to be seeing in the years ahead. And hopefully it'll be really exciting and fun. And I want to open up my playbook and help people kind of see how a fund manager selects a stock and kind of what goes into that. And so each week we want to present one opportunity that kind of, people can see and look at and kind of teach them how to fish.
I love it. And so let's talk about what your strategy is, because we've talked about this, you and I love it. So I'd love the listeners to hear, like, what is your overarching strategy?
Well, my strategy now, and it's been this for a while, so I've been early to this kind of thought in this party, but as we're seeing inflation rise and interest rates are inevitably going to rise, we're going to see a shift, as we're seeing now, from growth into value. And so I want to be in those areas of the market, those niche parts of the market that are still incredibly undervalued, where we can make the most upside with the least amount of downside, which is called an asymmetric bet. That's what fund managers and investors should be looking for every single time they buy a stock.
So that means low risk, right? So it can't go down very much, but it has potential to go up hundreds of percent, right?
Right. So like, something, let's say the stock is trading at a dollar. Maybe its downside is 70 cents, but its upside in the next few years is 5 to 10x. Those are the types of stocks we want to look for. So my strategy is mostly, I'm not a day trader. It's mostly a buy and hold strategy, with specific exit plans in case certain things happen. But also, in there as well, maybe some shorter term swing trades.
And so what's the general price of the stocks that you're looking at, Trent?
Okay, well, so my fund, Sterling Capital, is mostly in natural resources. And what I mean, like specifically, gold, silver, battery metals, energy. So that's including oil, gas, and uranium. I have started to delve into the cannabis sector because in the U.S., particular cannabis stocks are very undervalued compared to the Canadian ones. And I see an incredible opportunity there. And they got killed in 2021. So I typically like to be in asset classes, like to be positioned early in these stocks that are just beaten up, but not so early that I'm going to be beaten up for a long time. So I like to get them, the holy grail, right, is to get in a beaten up sector right before it turns. And that is the focus of my picking, that one trade for the week.
So is it usually under a dollar? Is it $5 to a dollar? Like what is there a price range?
The term is called the small caps. And that is my specialty, is the small caps resources, specifically sector. So natural resources, those things I just mentioned, things that are going to be very pertinent for the green new kind of era that all these countries want to get us to, all right, that they're actually starting to require. So things that have been completely underinvested in that we need, physical things. So that's those metals that we need to actually get out of the ground to be able to put into our electric vehicles and to use, for solar panels and this whole build out of what this new green energy will look like. That's going to be a huge opportunity.
So what's an example of those stocks, and where are they traded?
Okay, well, that's what's really exciting is, so like, just say copper, right? That is my favorite green energy metal because it's used in so many different ways. Best conductor of electricity. It's an EV uses multiples amount of copper versus a combustion engine car. So the exciting thing is the number one and two country for mining copper is Chile and Peru. Both just elected politicians that are, we don't know if they're necessarily pro mining and what that means. So kind of very left-leaning politicians who could be, you know, taxing these miners. So these countries might not be as exciting to invest in the future, but we kind of have to navigate that. All to say is there's these risks that are just going to basically push the prices of these metals even higher. When you have the number one and two producer that is maybe going to be less mining friendly, and that's something we have to navigate case by case. Like I own a copper company currently in Chile because its upside is so big. But just to kind of explain the pressure, that's just going to push the prices of copper even higher in the future.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, interesting. Cool. So are these, like we were talking about, are they traded on over-the-counter? These are New York Stock Exchange. Like, where are these stocks traded generally?
So most of my buying is done on the Canadian exchanges because that's where a lot of the resource stocks are traded at the highest volumes. But I also do some, we call them penny stocks, OTC stocks, and you can copy my trades in the U.S. markets the majority of the time. One just would need, you can't use a Robinhood account, you need something like an E-Trade account that allows you to buy those OTC stocks. So, and these are typically market caps that are going to be sub, you know, 200 million. I own market caps of companies that are $10 million. Very tiny, okay. Micro caps.
Okay. Is volume an issue on any of these sort of stocks to get in?
Well, for the listeners who are tuning in, no, for them, not necessarily. It can be at times, but you definitely want to be in a stock that consistently has good volume. And typically, I choose ones that have catalysts. And so people do want to invest in these, and you will see, you know, the volume, enough volume to get in. Now, if you're a big player, right, like an institution that's buying in, you're not going to be buying into these stocks in any size for the most part. But right. I also invest in companies that are $1 billion market cap. So yeah, I definitely do the range, but I like the smaller ones because they provide the most alpha.
For those listeners that don't know, let's talk about alpha.
Sure. So alpha is just simply outperformance. So I want to be in the, you know, the copper stocks that are going to outperform in the next 5 to 10 years that have that big upside. And that's going to be in the smaller market caps. Right. You got to start small and then hopefully they grow.
Yeah. It just makes so much sense to me, right? You could buy, like, I like Amazon. I use it daily,
absolutely,
twice daily.
But company,
you know, the stock is like, what, $1,000? Like,
right? It's exactly right. And this is what I want to get across to anyone who's listening is, guys, the time to buy an Amazon was when I was 23 years old and I actually worked for a stockbroker and I told him, hey, I think I found a great short at $20. It's called Amazon. And he looked at me and he goes, yeah, Trent. He's like, you've done your homework. This is a good short. I could see this falling to like $15.
Who's going to buy books online?
Right.
Right?
And
that's
it's
what
like,
they did. Yeah.
Now you look at that and you're like, okay, dummy. Like you obviously didn't realize that this was going to be one of the, you know, top five companies in the world going forward. And a lot of people felt like that at the time, but that's an example of that when you want to buy Amazon was years ago,
right?
To get the most amount of upside. It's not now, right? It's
So what you're looking for, the Amazons before they become Amazon, right?
Right. In a beaten up sector that we need in the future. So right now, specifically because of this inflation and because of rates rising and because I think the stock market is going to have more volatility and could come under some headwinds in the future as the Fed has reversed their policy and Congress is not going to be providing as much stimulus directly to the people that I can see in the foreseeable future, at least not what they did the last 2 years. What I want to be in are companies that are going to be more value plays versus growth. Now, I can get growth within those value plays, but I want to be in companies and in sectors that are beaten up, that the last 10 years were kind of forgotten about, and now they're coming back. So like oil and gas, right, last year did exceptionally well, especially individual smaller companies that were able to navigate, not go into bankruptcy, but were able to navigate those low oil prices. Well, they completely out destroyed the market. I mean, some of them are up many multiples over right. this past year. And so those are the types of plays that we want to be in as, sure. as we're you know, looking forward into the future. And so, yeah, I think simply it's, we're going to go from growth to value. And you kind of saw it, you saw it from, okay, the tech stocks were really hot the last few years, and then it kind of morphed into crypto and NFTs. And it just kind of went into this kind of casino like mentality with AMC and GameStop. And this is all coming to a head, and it probably has already. And so this is where we're at. And so this podcast is, you know, we called it One Trade, and we kind of came up with this idea because we want to pick the best trade that we see. And we're not going to get them all right by any means, but we want to pick the best trade that we see lining up for that week where we see the most amount of value. And most of the trades are going to be buy and hold with some swing trades.
Yeah. I love it. And I love, we're going to talk about the logic behind it, right? So it's the strategy and what we're seeing from a macroeconomic perspective.
Right. Well, and Michelle, you're more the technician, and people should know this about you. You know, you're a quant trader, and you have, the machines that work for you. I'm more of what's called a fundamental trader. And so, yeah, I look at charts and I look at entries and where I want to exit, but I'm more from a kind of a top-down type of view overall, and both strategies can work. And in my case, so I would be considered a fundamental trader.
I'm so looking forward to talking about this just for my own learning every week. And I think about, you know, hindsight's 20/20, but I think if we can use the foresight to talk about it and try and get some of that crystal ball, because I just feel really stupid. Like during the pandemic, you know, we were all in this pandemic, and things like Carnival Cruise Lines went way down, right?
This stuff, right.
It crashed.
Airlines, right?
Airlines. Mm-hmm. But are we going to be in a pandemic forever? No.
No.
So it feels like a no-brainer to buy those, you know? And I have
oil,
to say,
right, to your point, oil went negative in 2020, went negative, meaning the front-month contract, people had to basically, you got paid to take the oil. It was incredible, right?
But how that seems so stupid to not take advantage of that at that time.
Right? Absolutely. I mean, that is what is called being a contrarian. And look, you're either contrarian in the markets or you're not going to make it. You have to be. So the whole plan, I mean, the best possible situation is to be in a market earlier than everyone else before that big wave comes. Not so early that you're floundering and you're in some dead market that's not moving. I mean, as a natural contrarian, I've been there where I'm not seeing anything, and I'm, you know, maybe I'm in a sector that is going to be struggling longer than I thought. But if you're there early and you're there before that wave takes you, that is where you want to be positioned. You want to be early, and you want to, you know, what do they call, buy right and sit tight.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
Well, that's how you make money.
I love it. Something to think about too is, as a quant, I'm looking at the graphs, because you can see the trough and the peak, right? I'm always like, oh, how do I hit that trough? But sometimes it means hit buying. It goes down a little bit more before it's going to go up. I think it's incredibly tough to hit the absolute top and the absolute bottom, right?
But it's, I think, it's a slingshot, right? That you're talking about.
Yeah, but I just wanted to throw that out there, that sometimes I'm like, oh, I bought it, went down a little bit more before then it came back up. So it's, I think that's something to think about too, just as a trader. Go ahead.
Right. And also, you know, to kind of talk about that, in March 2020, where that was very different, is literally that was called panic. That was panic selling. That was a liquidity event. That is where even safe havens like gold got knocked for a few days there. And then, you know, people were leaving the stock market in droves. And typically during that was the slingshot, right? So panic selling to the downside. And then I think it was March 23rd, it was the reversal, and it just went nuts. And that was because Congress, that's when actually Congress came out and started to talk about their fiscal stimulus. And the Fed had already dropped rates to zero and had already done quantitative easing, right? So they started buying the bonds and the mortgage-backed securities. And then Congress came out with the fiscal packages, right? And then the market started to react. Well, here's the thing. Now we're in a completely different era. Now the Fed is going, oh my goodness, we overdid it. Okay. The stock market's been to the moon. Real estate is up 20%. Yeah. Now we're going to look after the working person, the working class. Okay. Because we basically made the rich class extremely wealthy with assets that have gone to the moon. And then you see a lot of retail and working people are trying to get on that train by opening up. We've seen more. This is what's so exciting. For our podcast, is so many new traders have opened up accounts than we've seen since the .com era. And so a lot, being with the pandemic, staying at home, more and more people are looking at the markets and trading, and the environment is already changing. And so I want to help as many people as possible kind of think through this and talk through this and kind of show them how I'm, looking at this, and then hopefully be able to help people and give them some, wise counsel on the markets. And I'm looking forward to it.
That's great. And hopefully in the future, we'll look back and go, oh yeah, that was obvious, that call that we made, every week, right?
So hopefully we have a lot of those.
And this is probably a dumb question, but I'll watch CNBC and they'll be like, oh, the market's going down because X, right? I mean, how do they know?
Right.
Right. Yeah. Right? Do you agree with that? Are they just randomly making stuff up, or did somebody call them? This is why the market's going down.
Great point. Right? So I kind of start with the fundamental view that really what the Fed says really moves the markets. What Congress does really moves the markets. So a little bit different than when CNBC goes, oh, the Omicron variant is so bad that this is why the market is crashing today. And then you look at, actually, it was a Fed policy that really changed everything.
So it's sort of random guessing, right?
Right. A lot of it, and we all know this in the media, is look here, don't look here. So right. Be aware of that. That right. is typically, and a lot of times, on the mainstream media too, in financial media particularly, is when they come out and say something, sadly, often it's to sell into retail. It's to use it as a platform where they're going to do the opposite. When you hear about, oh, inflation is running rampant, so buy all these inflation, like the things I just talked about, buy all these inflation plays. That's typically a time where you're probably going to see a nice dip in the inflation plays.
it's a right? opposite. But that's, and we've talked about this, Trent, the goal of this podcast is to be discerning, right? To use our analytic brain and be like, all right, this is what they're saying over here, but this is what's really happening. And this is the buy you should do right now based on what's happening, right?
Right, or just something like, just an approach, the way to look at the markets, like, okay, and I will say, the caveat to all this is, look, if we have a deflationary type, if you want to call it market crash, or we have serious deflation in our economy, in the markets, even the thesis of buying stuff that's cheap, like I'm saying, it's just going to get a lot cheaper. So that's a caveat as well. So I would also say, hey, have some cash on hand too, because I really think this is going 2022, and I know this is being overused. And typically when stuff's overused, it might not come to pass, but I really do think it's going to be a volatile year. And I think we can count on that. So have some cash on hand to be able to go in, and when you feel comfortable buying something that you thought was good value, and then seeing it even get to more good value. If you know what you already own or what you're looking at really well, then you'll have the confidence to go in there and buy based on those fundamental values of the company. So let's just say, talking about, let's just talk about gold for a sec. I love, so I have a few gold plays that I really like, but I own those gold plays because I know why I hold them. Because I know they already have a certain amount of ounces in the ground, and I know what their fundamental value is already, what they have, and the fact that they're exploring and they're finding more, and the news is coming out, I'm very comfortable. And I know, where those stocks should be trading based on where the gold price is today. And I think they're extremely undervalued. But at that same gold play, let's say we have a sell-off and gold goes down a couple hundred bucks, and my gold play falls by 30%. Well, the fundamentals for my company don't change. I'm buying more.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes so much sense.
Right.
I like it.
Right.
I like it. It's cool. It's great. It's good. Anything else you're thinking about for the year coming up?
Sure. Yeah. So I think just the sectors that are just I'll be, you know, bringing for those one trade, the stuff that it's in my fund and what I look at is in general. So I like gold, silver. Those were beaten up in 2021, and I really like their fundamentals. You know, at some point in this next year, going forward. And then I also like battery metals. So anything with green energy that has been undercapitalized for decades, I like that too. So I'm a big fan of copper and other type of like lithium, anything in battery metals, interested in that. Uranium, also interested, as well as oil and gas, because it's completely hated. And, you know, a lot of these smaller companies are paying down, you know, their debts, and they are starting to throw off a lot of cash. So fundamentally, they're looking great. And the oil price is going to remain elevated as these companies are not really able to expand and drill to what they need to get the right amount of supply. So I'm very bullish on oil and gas. Also, MSOs. So cannabis, I am very interested, and I think potential for a generational play is going to be specifically on U.S. listed cannabis companies before cannabis gets legalized federally. And so I'm specifically getting into the weeds of this, in my opinion,
literally the weeds. Sorry.
Nice.
It's a comedy podcast. No, okay. Sorry.
Yes.
To interrupt.
So no, yeah, I didn't even catch that. But yeah, so finding those specific companies that provide that asymmetric bet. So least downside, most upside, as you know, the cannabis companies, and I'm not talking about the Canadian ones. I'm not talking about CGC. I'm not talking about Tilray. I'm talking about specifically the US ones that you can buy, and they're only able to list on the OTC markets because it's not federally legal. So the value in those are specifically very good. So very undervalued, and they could even get cheaper. So I think these are ones to definitely look into, buy, and just hold at least for a few years until cannabis is legalized federally. But even the great thing, Michelle, about specifically cannabis is it's already a growth sector. It grew 20% last year in the U.S. just by the states, you know, coming out with legalization, either, you know, medically or recreational.
That feels like one of those things that we'll look back with 2020 vision and go, oh, it was obvious. Because you see states, every time I read an article about cannabis, a new state is legalizing it. So it just feels like this wave is coming. So it'll
absolutely.
Yeah. So it feels like one of those things. Yeah, it's going to be federally legalized. It's just a matter of time. And there's such a nice opportunity there to get in front of.
Right. And you know, part of the goal of this podcast, selfishly, is this is going to make me the best I can be. And I want to bring the listeners incredible ideas. I mean, really incredible ideas.
I like that.
And so I will be spending a ridiculous amount of hours. And it's not just me. So how everyone gets research is what we read and what we listen, and then leaning on experts who've done this before, and just coming up with the best ideas and kind of bringing it, you know, to one trade.
Yeah, it's pretty darn generous of you, Trent. I mean, I hear so many people say, oh, they talk in theory, but very few of them are like, here is my number one trade. So it's pretty darn generous of you to do that. So,
well, it's going to be the number one trade for the week. I won't be, you know, divulging my entire portfolio, but things that I'm looking to add. And like I said, it helps me out as well, incredibly.
Yeah, love it, love it. Well, I'm so looking forward to the podcast. I'm looking forward to hearing about your trades and putting them on. And I'm looking forward to some asymmetric growth.
Absolutely. That's how you make money.
That's my word for 2022.
Asymmetric. I love it.
No longer just COVID. No. Asymmetric growth, everybody.
Way better. Let's make some money.
Make some money. We'll go, you know, have a party after. That sounds good.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you, Trent. And I'm looking forward to it. And thank you, everybody out there. And let's have a good 2022. Dang it.
Sounds great. I can't wait to start the first official episode with the first trade.
Well, me too. All right. Excited. Thanks, Trent. All right. Bye-bye.
See ya.
And that's the podcast. If you like the podcast and would like to hear more each week, don't forget to subscribe. And of course, we'd always appreciate a review. If you'd like to contact us to learn more about Sterling Capital or just to say hi, you can email us at onetradepodcast@gmail.com. Let's have a great trading week, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye. And now for the required risk disclosure. The material in this podcast is presented solely for informational purposes and is not to be construed as solicitation or an offer to buy or sell any securities or any related financial instruments, nor should any of its content be taken as investment advice. One Trade Podcast accepts no liability whatsoever for any loss or damage of any kind arising out of all or any part of this material. We recommend you consult with a licensed and qualified professional before making any investment decision.